Well, good morning, church.
So good to see you all
this morning. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. If this is your first time here, you are so welcome. If you're visiting, you are so welcome. And for those who call this place home, you are so welcome. It was King David who uttered these words of gratitude in Psalm 122. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And friends, with those same sentiments this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are from, I want you to know today that you are very welcome in the Lord's house. And it is my prayer today that you will sense his presence as we worship him together, as we pray together, and as we hear the preached word. May each and every one of us here this morning desire to have their own personal encounter with the Lord Jesus this morning. And to that end, here on the second Sunday of 2023, during the course of this service this morning, by the grace of God, we shall rededicate the Lord's house and consecrate ourselves to the vision that he has bestowed upon this local church. And we will give God thanks for the Lord's provision of this historic premises, as well as praying for our young people, our leaders, our staff, our volunteers, and for the entire membership and congregation here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. We will also offer our prayers to God on behalf of our local community, our nation, and the entire world, as we always seek to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. We are called to be the salt in the earth, that we may be the voice crying out in the wilderness, pointing people to a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, church, as we come to worship our great God together this morning, we've just heard, by way of introduction, we have come into this place. We have gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Amen. That is why we are here. So we're going to read our call to worship scripture from Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord reads like this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. And give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever." Now we're going to repeat these three verses together. I'm going to read the first clause, and then together in unison we're going to say, "His love endures forever." Are you ready? Here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
And give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have called us into your house on this morning, here on the second Sunday of a brand new year. We're so grateful, Lord, that by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, you have sustained us. You have kept us. And Lord, throughout the course of 2022, we can reflect back that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, then where would we be? And Lord, as you have called us into this new year, we pray that we would always be mindful that it is your love that endures forever. Regardless of what is happening all around us, regardless of the negative news that we hear on a daily basis, we are grateful for that blessed truth that your love endures forever. And we're grateful that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercy, they never come to an end. For they are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. So Lord, receive our worship. Lord, as we sing songs of Zion, as we proclaim from the fruit of our lips your love, your grace, your goodness. And Lord, as we sing, Lord, of your great plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, we pray that you would touch each and every one of us here this morning. Draw us closer to you now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to stand, if you are able, together, and we're going to sing our first hymn of the morning, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, followed by Shine, Jesus, Shine. And after we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine, I'm going to invite Kuda Asaba to come, and she is going to lead us in the first prayer of consecration for our children and our young people. Let's stand together and worship him.
Please take your seats. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We're going to pray for the kids and dedicate them again into the hands of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we glorify and exalt your name this morning. And we thank you that you sent the light that is Jesus Christ into the world to shine brightly. And Father, we just pray for our children that you would light that light of love in each and every one of them. We ask that when the time of choice comes, they will choose to run to your light, even in the midst of darkness. Like Hannah dedicated Samuel, Lord, we present our children before you this morning, and we ask that they will live with Jesus, and we ask that you will dwell in them, and that they will dwell in you, and they will always choose your ways every day. Father, we pray that you light them up from the inside out, so that their light will shine. And wherever they go, we pray that their lives will tell your story and they will use your power to do great things. We ask, Almighty God, that you set their hearts on fire for you, and the things that break your hearts will break theirs. Lord, that they will seek to do your will. And we pray, Almighty God, as a church, that we would always lead them to Jesus, that you would be the answer to every question on their lips and their hearts and their heads. And mighty God, we pray that as you light them up, you will put them in the places you want them to go to, and that they will bring a difference and a change, not just to this house, but to their community, to their schools, to their families, to their friends. Even if they are in Asda, oh God, let there be a difference, because your light has come. We put these children up on a stand, their own stand, and we ask for your wisdom, oh God, to help them to shine and to make a difference. Father, we ask that in all these things your name will be glorified. Lead and guide them, oh Lord, and help us as we infuse them with the energies that they need, with the word that they need, with the encouragement that they will need in this world. And Father, we pray that when we see their gifts, we will encourage them. When we see their talents, we will help them to use them to your praise and glory. We thank you for all those ones like JJ who work on the technical team. We pray for Louisa, Emily, Daniela, Emmanuel, Jerome, who work with the worship band. We pray for the girls that joined us in joining the choir. We pray for those that help with Sunday school, every one of them, Lord. We pray that their gifts and talents will indeed make room for them before great men. And in all that, O Lord, we pray that your name be lifted high in their lives, and that they will have the light of Jesus shining through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kuda. I'm going to ask that the tech team at the back, could you please cut off the live stream for just a moment? Can you do that? And if you could just give me the thumbs up if you're able to do that before I proceed. You can cut off the live stream for just a moment. Thank you. I'm going to invite all of the children to come, all of the children and young people. Please come down. Please come down to the front. Please come down. I want the church to see you. Please come down. Join me on the stage.
All of you upstairs, come on down.
Please come down.
Wait. We ain't got all day. Come on. Come. Luca, don't call me. Don't let me call you by Luca. I know you are. Come on.
turn and face the congregation.
They are hiding.
Amen. Church, do you see all of these wonderful children and young people? These are our children and young people. Amen. And God has blessed us with these wonderful, talented, bright individuals. And the reason why I've called them up here to the front as we're praying for them and as Kuda has prayed for them. Children, young people, I want you to know and I want you to hear me very clearly that this local church here, Sittingbourne Baptist Church, this is not just a church for adults, but this is a church also for children and young people. And we are very serious as a church to provide a safe environment for you to learn about Jesus, to have fun together, to enjoy each other's company. And we are committing, as we have always done for many, many years as a church family. This church has always, for many years, invested in children and young people. And we are making a commitment today to continue to do just that, to invest in our children and young people. And I want you to hear from me as your minister, as your pastor, that we love you, we care for you, and we're here to listen to you. We're here to listen to your ideas. We know you have some exceptional ideas, some ideas that we have not yet thought about. We want you to feel comfortable to share them with us. And if there's things that we can do as a church, things that you feel that would help to be included in the youth ministry and in the church, we want to do that because we're here to serve you. This is one church. We're serving one God, but we're a multi-generational church. And that is something that we're really, really passionate about. Amen. Amen. So we love you, children and young people. And in just a moment, I'm going to dismiss you to your groups where you're going to learn more about Jesus. I pray that you have a wonderful time learning about the Lord. Look, you look so smart in your suit and tie. Wow. What's your name, young man? Yemen. God bless you. God bless you all. All right. Is there any one of you who's having a birthday? Any one of you having a birthday in and around this week? Any birthdays? No? I never get it as a worship leader, man. I know. Okay. Well, with that being said, let's pray for them as they go to their groups. And for all of the volunteers in the church, thank you, all of the youth volunteers. And please, church, please continue to be in prayer. We're still seeking the Lord's will for a new full-time youth, children's and youth leader. So please continue to keep that point for prayer. The Lord, we're trusting the Lord that he's going to send us the right person to lead and to provide ministry to these wonderful children and young people. Let's pray for them as they go. Father, again, we want to just say thank you for blessing this church with children and young people. And Lord, as they go now to their groups to learn more about you, we pray, Lord, that they will have a wonderful, wonderful time. Bless them, Lord, and bless the adults who are serving them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful time in your groups. Have a wonderful time. Church, we're going to now come to a time of prayer. We will be praying prayers of dedication, rededication for ourselves, for the church building, for the vision that God has given us. But we also want to be in prayer for our local community, our nation, and our world. As I said earlier, we are called as children of God to be the salt and the light in this world. And I'm going to invite Jackie Kemp now to come, and she is going to lead us in prayer.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Thank you, Nathan, for inviting me to pray for our town, our community, and then the country and the world. And all the world needs prayer.
Yeah.
Loving God, we pray together today for these people around us who live and work in our area, our neighbours and those who live in our community. There seems to be, in some cases, in our local community and across the land, a fear of what the future may bring in the uncertain and unsettled times, in illness and health and lack of food and accommodation. Please, Lord, would you stir up a deep desire to bless and serve and pray for us and our neighbours. We need to build communities with friendship, support and hope, where there is goodness and abundance. We pray for a spirit of gratitude and joy. Where there is pain and challenge, we pray that there will be an awareness of your presence and love. We are so grateful for the support within our community and our locality, from caring businesses, organisations and individuals and volunteers. We pray for our food bank, all of them, for the Trussell Trust and other voluntary organisations. As we pray for our communities, we should also pray for the nation of which we are a part. Let us remember the teachings of Jesus to improve our lives and pray that those in power might recall and apply Jesus' teaching. Love your neighbour as yourself. This is one of Jesus' most famous teachings, and we can improve other men's life, whether they're believers or not. Love your enemies, forgive one another, serve others, and have faith. Let us pray for the world. God of power and might, your broken world cries out from the depths, a world dominated by the darkness of war, terror, pain, and suffering. In this uncertain world, with weather destroying crops and torrential rain destroying land and homes and towns and roads and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, we must look to ourselves for how we treat this world. May them all across the world feel your strength and power and know the truth of your promises, that we shall not be overcome by the dark shadows of life or the darkness of human nature. So, God of all creation, you hold the depths of the earth in your hands. You are closer to us than the air we breathe. Fill our souls with your wonderful love and light. Give us strength and courage to reflect that life and that love out in the world. Let us never shrink back from who we are in you or hide our light inside ourselves. Renew us with a sense of joy. And we offer our prayers together in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Well, friends, we're now going to come to this first section of rededication, or second rather, following the children and young people. We're going to be praying now for the church building, this building that we have inherited as stewards of this local assembly. None of us here were alive at the time when this building. But through the years, God has allowed this building, although it's now an historic building and it has its challenges and things go wrong from time to time, things get broken from time to time. But the Lord has blessed us as a local church with this wonderful premises that we can do ministry from this building, that we can meet together from this building. And throughout the week, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, there are many groups and activities that seek to extend the love of Christ and to touch this community, and it comes out from this building. So we are going to pray a prayer of rededication for the Lord's church here, this premises, here on the High Street of Sittingbourne, that this building will continue to be a beacon of light into this community, to show forth the love of God and to continue to be the light of the world. So I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come now, Graham Atkinson, and he is going to give us our reading. And then we're going to have a hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." And then Beverly Seals, our office manager, is going to lead us in the prayer of rededication for the church building.
Reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 16 inclusive. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," he replied. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Again, we're reminded from Jesus, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And may we, as members of the body here at SBC, always keep that in mind, that the primary purpose of this building is to honor God and to worship him. This building is not for worldly pleasure, but it is to give glory and honor to Jesus. Beverly, please do come and lead us. Yes, we're going to sing. "The Church is One Foundation." Let's stand together if you're able. Great hymn of the church.
Thank you. Let's pray for the church that we're sitting in, shall we? Father God, we know that in earthly terms, when we think of property, we think of those three words, location, location, location. And Lord, we thank you for the location of this church. Lord, at the head of the high street and looking out onto all the ways of coming into town. Lord, we look across at the railway station. We look across almost at the bus station. Father, people who come here, come to us and try the church out. And Lord, we thank you that that location gives us that real privilege of making people welcome. And Lord, we do pray for the bricks and mortar. They've been here 157 years. And Lord, we thank you for the space that we have. And Lord, we pray that it would always be space for you, space that we can use for prayer, for worship, for all the different things that take place in this building, from midnight on a Sunday right round to midnight on a Sunday again. Lord, it is used throughout the week. And we pray that you would guide us and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see and hear what new things we could do here. And Lord, we think about your Psalms, and we just want to pray that this church would be your wing, that it would be a place of shelter and love. So Father, we give it to you for all that you wish to use it for. Father, whatever we do in this building, we pray that it would honour and glorify you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are now going to pray prayers of rededication and consecration for all of the leaders who are called to serve in this church, for myself as minister, the deacons of our church, and all of our group leaders, volunteers who serve in this church. We are going to pray and rededicate each and one to the Lord Jesus Christ for his purpose and for his glory. I'm going to invite Richard, one of our deacons, to come, and he's going to give us two readings from God's word.
The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, and then there's one verse from 2 Timothy at the end. Ephesians 4 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we would no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And then in 2 Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth."
Thank you, Richard. We are going to stand and sing together if you're able. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
Thank you.
please do take your seats, but if the leaders, deacons, volunteers, heads of groups, please do stand with me. Please do stand with me wherever you are, just stand. Deacons, heads of groups and activities, volunteers, please do stand. Amen, as we pray for these individuals who serve. We're mindful again of the scripture that was read by Richard, that we are called as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ to build up the body. We are not called to tear down, but we are called to build up. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have called leaders after your own heart to serve your purpose and to bring glory to your name. Father, we are mindful as your servant leaders that you have not called us to lord it over the people. You have not called us to be big bosses and dictators, but you have called us to serve with meekness and to represent the love of Jesus Christ with a servant attitude. We pray that as we continue, Lord, throughout the course of this year to serve your people and to serve this present age, that you will continue, Lord, to give us wisdom, that you will continue, Lord, to give us your grace, that we may conduct your business in accordance with your perfect will and your word. Help us not to go on our own. Help us, Lord, not to make decisions that are not in keeping with your perfect will. But help us at all times to consult you in prayer, because you, Lord Jesus, you are the head of your church. And we submit and we surrender all to you. So bless us all now as your servant leaders, as deacons, as minister, Lord, as volunteers, heads of groups, whatever, Lord, position, whatever area, Lord, we serve, we pray, Lord, throughout the course of this year that we may know your strength and that you may anoint us and ready our hands for the task at hand, that we may build up the body and bring glory to your name. Set us apart now for thy service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. Amen. Well, this final section of rededication and consecration, we're going to pray for each and every one of us as the local church, the members of the body of Christ, members of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church, and the entire congregation, whether you are a member of this church or not. We're going to pray for each and everyone. I'm going to invite another one of our deacons to come now, Fiona Cowan, and she's going to give us the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ.
Amen. There is one body. There is not two or three or four or five bodies, but there's only one body of Christ, made up of different parts, different members, but we've all been baptized into one body. Therefore, we must always try our best to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And this next hymn, it encourages us to do just that. Bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken. You can stay seated for this hymn. bind us together. I'm going to invite you all to stand once more. Let's all stand together as church members, congregation. And I want you just to look to your left, to your right, look around, look up, and see all these wonderful people all around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family. And we are one family, one church, one body, and we are called to be our brothers and our sisters' keeper. And may we always maintain that unity. We will have our differences, we will have our different opinions, but we are one through the blood of Jesus. Whether you are white or black, whatever color you may be, whatever your background, we are all one through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that you have called us into being, into your body, and we have been baptized into that one body. For all those who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have been received into the body of Christ. And Lord, as members of this church, and for those who are part of this congregation, for anyone who calls this church home, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us now, that you would consecrate us as your people to be the salt in this earth. We pray that we would continue to be the light in this community, and that, Father, Lord, the gifts that you have given us, the various gifts, that we would not sit on them, but we would put them to use so that we can build each other up and edify the body of Christ. And Lord, as we move forward into this year, we're thankful, Lord, that you have called us with that mission to declare Christ to people and to disciple people to Christ. And we're grateful for the vision that you have bestowed upon us, that you are calling us, your people, to a season of spiritual growth, relational growth. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to add to our number for those that will be saved and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We give you the glory now. Consecrate us now for thy service. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please do take your seats. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say, you're my, yes, all together, all together, wonderful to me. Just one more time. Here I am, here I am to work. Yes, Lord, that's why we're here. Here I am to say that you're my, you're all together. Yes, you are. All together, work. All together, wonderful to me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to ask for just 10 minutes of your time. 12 and a half minutes, actually. And I'm going to just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart briefly. I want to call your attention to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we, last week, Brian started us off in our new series, Life Reboot. And the whole purpose of this series, it's for us to recognize that a fresh start, a new beginning, is not just dependent on a new year. But whatever season, whatever time of the year, a fresh start, a new beginning, is always made possible because of Jesus. That's what this series is all about. That new beginnings are always possible through Jesus. January doesn't give us the new beginning. It may feel like it can, but Jesus gives us that new beginning. And today I'm asking the question, why is January called the Monday of months? Why is January called the Monday of months? Philippians chapter 4, the word of the Lord reads like this. Philippians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse number 4. And Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Hallelujah. Think on these things. Think on these things. Why is January called the Monday of Mumps? Friends, it was in 2005 that a travel network company by the name of Sky Travel, they came up with an equation after research that was conducted by a psychologist by the name of Cliff Arnold, who espoused the theory that the third Monday of the year, the third Monday of January, according to Arnold, is set aside to be the most depressing day of the year. In so much that it would be hailed with the nickname Blue Monday. And not only is the third Monday of January considered to be the most depressing day of the year, but even the entire month of January, according to the late Francis Scott, who was an American novelist, who once quoted that January is the Monday of months. That the whole month is one of doom, gloom, and depression. And church, as Christmas has now come to its conclusion, and the festivities and the work parties have come to an end, when all of the fireworks displays are over, at midnight, the crossing over into a new year, and when the tune of Auld Lang Syne has done its final round, for many around the country, for many around this world, the prospect of transitioning into a new year is not always one that is filled with expectation and excitement. But many around this nation may soon find out that January could be the Monday of mumps. It's almost like a giant, great big come down back to reality. So why Cliff Arnold? Why Sky Travel? Why Francis Scott? Why is the very first month of the year, according to the world, considered by many to be the most depressing month of the year? Why is it that year after year, church, people spend time in December writing their New Year's resolutions, their New Year's goals and plans? But why is it that every December, even on social media, many quotes are plagued on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter with various quotes that next year is going to be my year? I saw some quotes in December, such as 2023, please let it be a good one. 2023 is going to be my time. 2023 is the time that I'm finally going to launch my business. I'm going to achieve that. I'm going to achieve this. But church, after all of that enthusiasm of a new year, a fresh start, turning over a new leaf, how can it be? How can it be possible that January, the very first month of a new year, is considered by the world to be the most depressing month of the year? And here are just five reasons why researchers believe that January is the most depressing month of the year. Number one is because they suggest we have spent too much money in December. We've blown our budget on Christmas gifts, and we've spent far too much. We've spent beyond our means trying to have a lovely, lavish Christmas. And then when January comes around, we realize, bills are due and we have responsibilities. And now people are concerned and worried and anxious. How am I going to financially get through the rest of the month? Number two, another reason, is because we're all back at work. And even for those who are retired, it's a return in January to those regular activities, those chores, those school runs for those who pick up the grandchildren, etc. Number three, terrible weather. The bleak of the weather climate can cause many to have that sad mood, that depressive mood. People don't want to go outside, they just want to stay in the warm, and can affect the mood. Number four, the dreaded diet. Because in December, writing those goals and resolution, we say we want to lose this amount of weight, or we want to do this, we want to achieve this in the gym, we want to exercise. And when we contemplate the diet and we look at the plan of December, but then we see those lovely treats around us, we say, I wish I never made that goal in December. And five, exercise goals. Resolutions have stumbled. Week two of the year, many have already said, I've already drawn back on the goal that I was going to exercise 5 days of the week. However, church, regardless of what Cliff Arnold has to say about January, regardless of what Francis Scott has to say, that January is the most depressing month of the year, and even regardless of what Sky Travel had to say in 2005 about January, please understand, church, that as Christians, we are not governed by the world's perspective of sadness and depression. And although I believe that depression is real, and those who experience bouts of depression, they must be supported. But please understand, God's ways are not always synonymous with the world's view of happiness and sadness. We are governed by another spiritual perspective. And the Apostle Paul, right here in Philippians chapter 4, he wants to encourage us, encourage the church in Philippi, and even for us today, that even despite the fact that Paul was incarcerated, that he was in prison writing to the church at Philippi, even that they were experiencing bouts of persecution in the church, but the first thing that Paul wanted them to know, to get across to the church in Philippi, and even for us today, regardless of what the world are saying about January, the word of the Lord says in verse 4 that we can find joy in every season. Hallelujah. God's joy is not dependent on the time and the season and the weather climate of our day. Because in every season, including January, we can find a limitless supply of joy that is not dependent on good weather. It's not dependent on favorable circumstances. It is dependent and based and firmly rooted in the love of God. Our joy does not come from the world, but our joy comes from the knowledge of knowing who Jesus Christ is and for what he has done for us. Number two, we have the power of prayer. Paul says, don't let your concerns, don't let your anxious worries just be left at keeping them to yourself. But he says, present your request to God. Tell him all about it. Let him know what's on your heart and on your mind. If you're feeling down, don't keep it to yourself. Don't bottle it up. But you can take all of your concerns. You can take all of your worries. You can take all of your problems. All of the reports from the doctor. Everything that the world may be throwing in your direction. You can take every single problem and we can take it to the Lord in prayer. We have not because we ask not. And the problem for us sometimes is that we keep things to ourselves and we try to deal with the problem by ourselves. But we don't have to do it. The word of the Lord says, cast all, not some, but all of your cares to him because he cares for you. So whatever's happening in January, we have the power of prayer. We can look to heaven. That's why David says, my help does not come from the hills. Where does all of my help come from? From the Lord. Hallelujah. We have the power of prayer. Number three, we have the assurance of peace. Look in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it shall keep our hearts and our minds. Because if we just think about the things and the challenges of this life, it will cause us to be depressed and sad. This world is constantly bombarding us with bad news all around us. But God has given us a replacement for that. They have now a dietary, you've heard of meal replacements, haven't you? Meal replacements, a substitute for a meal. It's a meal replacement. Some people use meal replacements for dietary needs, to try and lose weight, etc. But God has given us a replacement for the worries and the concerns of this world. He has given us peace. Hallelujah. And the peace that he has given us, it surpasses, it exceeds all understanding. Hallelujah. Number four, we can adjust our thinking beyond the temporal. Verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, if there be any virtue, we can think on those things. We don't have to always take in what the world is saying, the bad and the negative reports of this world. But God has given us some good news that we can feed our minds and our souls on a daily basis. Things that are true and honest, because the majority of the things of this world, they are lies. They are fed from the father of lies, which is the devil. But God has given us truth of his word. Honest, truth, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, we can think on those things. We have to adjust our thinking of the temporal things of life. That's why Paul says, if this earthly house, this tabernacle, in some version it says tent, meaning the human body, if it be dissolved, if it be destroyed, that we don't have to worry because we have another building. A building of God that is not made by human hands. It is eternal in the heavens. So the temporal things in life, we can't allow them to get us down because God has given us foresight of the eternal. But finally this morning, not only can we find joy in every season, Not only do we have the power of prayer, not only do we have the assurance of peace, not only are we called to adjust our thinking beyond the temporal, but finally today we have good examples all around us. In verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul. What he was saying here is, church in Philippi, the things that you have seen and heard from me as your leader, as your servant leader, I've given you a good example to follow. And the good news for us even today, that whatever is happening all around us, whatever bad examples we are seeing all around us, God has given us good examples that we can be inspired and we can be moved to follow in that same direction. And we've been praying for leaders today. And I want to encourage the church today that our job as leaders, as servants, is not to allow people to follow us, but we point people in the way of Jesus. That's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So leaders, we cannot lead the people if we are not following Christ. Because if we're not following Christ and we want the people to follow us, then we'll be just taking a walk in the dark and leading people astray. But if we are following the perfect example of Jesus, then we can say, whoever you are, come aboard the train of eternal life. Whoever you are, get on board and ride this train. Nothing on this train to lose, but everything to gain. Because this train is not going in the direction of hell or the world, but this train is onward bound to heaven. And from victory to victory, and from faith to faith, get on board and ride the train of eternal life. Friends, thank you for your time this morning. I'm done. I want to close as we reflect on the Word of God. Why is January called the Monday of Mumps? Yes, that may be true from a world's perspective, but we have another truth. And it's the truth of God's word. So we don't have to fret and be concerned about the reports in the world. But God has given us a joy that does not come from this world. When I was a little boy growing up in church, they used to sing a song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away." Yes, let's say it one more time. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Yes, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Amen. Father, we thank you for the joy that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a joy. And therefore, we can rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. For the Lord has done great things. And whatever the course of this year may hold, we have a joy that is firmly rooted in who Jesus is and not in the circumstances all around us. Help us to continue to maintain that joy that you have given us as we continue to worship and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final hymn, and then we're going to have our benediction. And David is going to play the organ for us. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my song. Let's stand and sing together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my
Amen. This is my story. That's what it's all about. And you know, I missed telling you there in the end because of time, but Cliff Arnold, who conducted that research for January, he later was quoted as saying that it was all pseudoscience. In other words, it was just a play to try and trap people into thinking that January is the most depressive month of the year. And you know what it was? Why he did that? Absolutely. Sky Travel did it because they wanted to find out what was the most lucrative time to capture the mood of the nation so that people would book holidays in January to get away from all of the sadness and the gloom. It's all lies. But thank God that we do have a story and a story of truth, and our joy comes from Jesus. Thank you so much for your participation in this service of rededication. We've gone a bit over our time. I promise you next week, we're going to be done next week, 11:35, I promise. No, I'm serious. Next week, 11:35. Amen. Whoever the worship leader, please put me on 11. Amen. I'm going to be on, I'll be done 11:35. I'm serious from now on. This is a one-off for the rest of the year. All right. Thank you. Please do join us on Wednesday. Wednesday Gone was our first joint house group of the year. We had a wonderful time, and please do join us. This is not just for church members. Everyone is welcome. And if you haven't yet got the book, you can speak to Bev, and I think there's only a few more books left, but we may have to order some more. But it's a really good book, and we're having a great time. So please do join us on Wednesday, either 1:30 or 7:30 p.m. Also, remember our early rise prayer meeting is kicking off this week on Tuesday, so meet us for prayer if you want to, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. from Tuesday to Friday. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of worship, and we thank you, Lord, that as we have rededicated ourselves to you, this building, the young people, the entire membership, the leaders, everyone, Lord, to the vision and the purpose of serving you. We pray now that as we go throughout the course of this year, that we would follow you, and that you would lead and guide us, and that for the vision that you have given us, for spiritual growth, for relational growth, and for numerical growth, we believe by faith that we will see the realization and the manifestation of your vision realized in this church and in this community, all for the glory and for the honor of God. And as we leave this place now, but never from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Please do join us for teas and coffees. Amen. God bless you all. Bless you. God bless you.